discussing about Tainis Esther. And the Gemara talks about the days that you could read Megillah, the first mission, Maseches Megillah, that the Megillah is Nikreis Be'echaras, Be'chadasar, Be'shneimasar, Be'shloshasar, Barbasar, Be'chamishasar, any of the days between the 11th and the 15th of Adar, Lo Pachos V'lo Yoser, no more, no less, no earlier, no later than that day. And the Gemara goes on to figure out the sources, how we know you could read on any of these days. So before we go through the sources of the Gemara, so the Shulchan Aruch has an interesting machlokas. It seems to be a subtle machlokas, but the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Megillah and Purim that Mis'anim B'Yud Gimel B'Adar, there's a mitzvah or there's a halacha to fast on the 13th of Adar, otherwise known as called Tainis Esther. But then the Ramah adds and qualifies this, V'Tainis Zeh Eino Chova. This fast day is not a requirement. You're not obligated to fast. And lachain, and therefore the Ramah builds in that there's some kulas, yesh lahakel beis letzarech, if there's a need, a muberos, a woman who's pregnant, or she's perhaps nursing, or a person who's ill, even though it's ein bo sakana, vafil rak kovei einayim, even though his eyes just might bother him and be somewhat painful. So the Ramah writes that this tainis is eino chove, which sounds like the Shulchan Aruch thinks that there is a chove. So right off the bat, there's a machlokas whether tainis Esther is a chiv, or it's only Rishus. That's the machlokas. And we're going to navigate through the sugya to figure out what exactly is the basis for this machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So the Mishnah already tells us that you can read on the 13th. How do you know? What's the source you're allowed to read on the 13th? If you read through Megillas Esther, there's no mention of the 13th. It talks about laning on the 14th. It talks about laning on the 15th, but doesn't speak about the 13th. So the Gemara brings a number of different psukim, Zmanehem. The Zmanehem includes that there are two other days you could lain, which we end up saying is the 11th and the 12th. Why don't we need a pasuk for the 13th? Because the Gemara tells us there in the first Amud of Maseches Megillah that Shlosha Sar Zman Kihila Lecholi Velo Tzarech Lirbuye. The Gemara says that this is a day of gathering for everyone, and there is no need to include it. It's understood. It's so obvious, and therefore there's no need for a pasuk. So what's so obvious about the 13th? So you'll probably tell me before I learned the sugya, if I asked any of you, if I asked any of my kids, what's the reason why we fast on Tainis Esther? So you would tell me because they fasted in the times of Purim, right? That didn't they fast? Didn't Esther tell everyone to get together and fast for a few days? And I'm going to go meet Achashverosh. So just like Esther and all the Yehudim fasted then, we fast as well. And that is incorrect, because the Psukim and Medrash tell us that those three fast days took place in Nisan. Nothing to do with Adar. It's a completely different halacha of fasting during Nisan. So why do we fast on Yud Gimel Adar? So Rashi doesn't mention anything about a fast. Rashi says the reason why the 13th of Adar is significant, Rashi writes, is because what does it mean, Zman Kihila L'chali? Hakol Nikhalu Linakem Me'oivehem. Everybody gathered together to take revenge, right? Achashverosh gave us the right to defend ourselves. So we all gathered together, whether it's B'Shushan, whether it's B'Shar Mekomos. And therefore, there's no need, Rashi explains, because Sheyehei Rai L'Kriya, you don't need a pasuk to tell me, De'ikr HaNes Bohaya. What was the Nes of Purim? The Nes of Purim was that Achashverosh gave us the right to defend ourselves, and we Taka defended ourselves. That was the Nes. And that took place in Yud Gimel Adar. That's why it's so special. Rashi makes no mention of a fast day. It's a happy day. It's a Zman Kilel Cholhi, because the Iker Nes Bohaya. That was the Iker Nes. That's the greatest celebration. So the Chasam Sofer asks a very basic question. So why are we celebrating Purim on Yudal and Tezvav? If the Iker Nes is on Yud Gimel, so that should be the celebration. He says, just like Pesach, we celebrate Pesach the night we left out. We left Mitzrayim. That's Tezvav, Leil Tezvav. That's when we have the Seder. So we should have a celebration on Yud Gimel. So Chassam Sofer says there's a technical problem. It's hard to celebrate a day that you're fasting. We have a fast day. Now, we don't know how and why we have a fast day, but Lamaisa, there is a fast day in Yud Gimel Adar. We don't know why yet. So once you're fasting on Yud Gimel Adar, it's very strange to read the Megillah and not being able to drink and eat and party. It just doesn't seem to be the right way to celebrate a Yom Tov. So we push it off a day. But really, Be'ikr, the Nes was on Yud Gimel, and that's the greatest celebration. So it comes out according to Rashi, and the way that Chassam Sofer really develops this is Yud Gimel Adar is a tremendous day. It's a big simcha. It's a big simcha that we celebrate the greatest Nes was there. We don't read the Megillah? Because we fast. It's inappropriate to read the Megillah when we're fasting, so we push off the Megillah. But really, there's a lot of simcha on Yud Gimel Adar. It's a day of Simcha. That was the Iker Nes. That's according to Rashi. And that's why we're allowed to read on the 13th. Now, Lamaisa, we don't do that. But according to the Gemara, one would have been allowed to read on the 13th because that was the day. That was the Iker Nes. That's all the Shita of Rashi. But then the Rush comes along, and the Rush, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, and says, this doesn't make any sense to me. Because if that was really Pshat and Rashi, that the 13th was a day of fighting, the Gemara should have said it was in Zman Milchamahi. That was when they were able to fight and defend themselves. Zman Kehila doesn't sound like the Iker Nes of fighting and defending themselves. It sounds like they gathered together and they did something. We don't know what they did yet, but it says Zman Kehila. It doesn't say Zman Milchama. So the Rabbeinu Tam says it's a different pshat. He's mechadesh this big chadesh. Rabbeinu Tam was known for making chidushim. Rabbeinu Tam says it was a Zman Kehila. When you think of the word Kehila, you think of a Kehila, a base knesses, of people davening together. That's what a Kehila means. So Rabbeinu Tam says Zman Kehila meant what they gathered together to fast. Ah, it doesn't mention anywhere that they fasted on that day. So he says it's understood. It's understood because he has a beautiful raya. He has this, the klal is as follows. The yesod is that before you fight Amalek, you need to fast. Before you encounter Amalek, you have to fast. You have to daven to Hashem, you need to fast because this is a very dangerous area. How does he know that's such a klal? That's the yesod is you need to fast before fighting Amalek. Because the Gemara in Tainus says, we learn a certain halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was on the top of the mountain when they were fighting Amalek and Yeshua was leading the war. So Moshe was up there and Aaron and Hur were helping holding his hands up. And they're getting heavy and they're helping him and back and forth. So very nice. And the Gemara in Tainus says, from that mice of Moshe and Aaron, you have to, every Tainus has to have three people that are up there. Like we have similar to Yom HaKippurim. There's usually a chazan, and many shuls has two people next to him, helping him up. There's an Indian when it comes to a tainis tzibur. They have three people up there at the bima. What's the basis? Because Moshe was standing up there at the mountain, and there's Aaron and Hor on his sides. So who says that's a fast day? Doesn't say anywhere in the psukim that he was fasting? Doesn't say anywhere that he was fasting. So the fact that they're using that as a model of a fast day implies that they were fasting. So it asks Rabbeinu Tam, why were they fasting? So there must be this klal, whenever you fight Amalek, as possible before you have any battle. But at least when you fight Amalek, you must fast that day beforehand. You must prepare yourselves. You need to daven. You need to say slichos. You need to prepare yourselves. That's the yesod. So then Rabbeinu Tam says, just like in the times of Moshe, when they had that first battle with Amalek, he fasted prior to that mechoma. So too in the times of Esther and Mordechai, there must have also been a fast day. Before they're about to fight with Amalek, Haman and Amalek, they must have fasted. So that's what it means, Zman Kehila, that they gathered together in a Kehila, they davened, they fasted, they said Slichos, and then they went on to fight. But Yud Gimel Adar in the Megillah, even though it's not mentioned, there must have been a fast day of Tainus Esther. It must have existed. And not because they were celebrating anything about a victory. They fasted. According to Rashi, there is no mention of a fast day. It's hard for us to remove that from our mind. But take that out of it. Rashi is, there is no fast day according to Rashi. It was a celebration according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says, Zman Kehila L'chol. No, they fasted back then. And that's why it's called Zman Kehila L'chol. Yep. So right now everybody agrees the 13th is a day you could fast. Why? Rather a day you could lane. Why? Rashi says because that was the Iker Nes. And Rabbeinu Tam says because they gathered together and they fasted. So that has to do with Purim, and therefore you could read the Megillah. So let's just say it conceptually. Is this day, now Yud Gimel Taina, Yud Gimel Adar, is it a happy day or is it a sad day? Well, according to Rashi, it sounds like a very happy day. It was an Iker Nes, it's a Simcha day. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a sad day. Now, again, we don't, you know, the fast, it's not sad anymore because we won. But back then, it was a very serious, sad day, according to him. They were fasting. They were davening for their lives. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks it was a more serious day. So it was a day of Simcha, or it was a day of Tainus. That's the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
So Yom Kippur is a sad day?
It's a very good question. So just because there's a fast day doesn't mean it has to be a sad day, of course. Yom Kippur certainly is a happy day. The Mishnah Tainus says it's one of the happiest days of the year, one of the two happiest days. So that doesn't mean it's a sad day just because it's...
And you could be davening for your life.
Right, 100%. So that doesn't mean it's necessarily a serious day, but back then... It was, but before encountering war and before encountering your enemies, that's a serious day. And there is no simcha. in Yom Kippur, the Simcha is we're certain we're going to win. We're going to come out victorious after the day, that we're going to get a good judgment by Yom Kippur. But we didn't know what was going to happen in the times of Esther and Mordechai, so it was a very serious day back then for them. Fine. So now the question whether it's a day of Simcha or whether it's a day of Tainus impacts a number of different halachas. So firstly, there seems to be a side machlokas about when was Tainus Esther instituted. So according to the Karban Nisano, the Karban Nisano writes that the day of Tainus Esther was instituted from the day that Nais happened. Already that year of Mordechai and Esther, Tainus Esther already existed. That's in line with Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam says back then they fasted in the times of Mordechai and Esther. But according to the Rush thinks that it was a later development. It was only later on in history that they instituted a fast day on Yud Gimel Adar. So that's a very important machlokas to understand. But according to Rashi, there is no idea at all of a fast day. They didn't fast during the times of Mordechai and Esther. So it must have been a later institution. For whatever reason, they said, let's fast on Yud Gimel Adar. It could be they're modeling after the Yud Gimel of Nisan, and they put that on top of Yud Gimel Adar. But according to Rashi, this was a later institution in history. So that's just a historical point. Rabbi Tam says the Tainus dates back to the story of Esther and Mordechai, but according to Rashi, it doesn't date back, because there was no fast day on Yud Gimel Adar. It was a later institution. So now a big question becomes, what is the nature? Now everybody agrees, even Rashi agrees, that we fast. Bizman Azeh, Rashi will agree. In his time, they fasted also. This dates back for many, many years. We don't know how far back it goes, but certainly by the times of Rashi, they fasted. So now what's the nature of that day, according to Rashi? Is that day a Tainus Tzibur, or is that day a Tainus Yachid? I spoke about this a little bit Friday night, and you saw it inside the sources here, but according to many Rishonim, Tainus Esther is a Tainus Tzibur. No different than Tainus and Shivas Bar Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and Asar Bar Teves. Those are all Tainus Tzibors, whereby we, as being part of Klal Yisrael, we have to fast. We have no choice. It's a Tainus that's on the entire Tzibur. But there is a day that's found in the Ritva. This is page number 3, those who are following inside. The Ritva writes in number 14 that he says, Mikol makom lo matzinu Tainus zeh b'chlal ha'tzomos shem gzeiros ha'machachamim. There is no basis for Tainus Esther. El kein Tainus Yachidi. It's like a Tainus Yachid. We have to, because that's part of our Mesorah, because of Minhag, not because of Halacha, but because of Minhag. So then, Sarach leKabbalah miBod Yom. You need to have a Kabbalah the day before him. So firstly, the Nafkamina, whether it's a Tainus Tzibur or Tainus Yachid, is do you have to make a Kabbalah the day before him? So those who weren't here Friday night, I'll repeat what I mentioned, that there's a Halacha. What's the Nafkamina between a Tainus Tzibur and a Tainus Yachid? Whether you need to make a Kabbalah the day beforehand. If you look at the back of the Siddurim, not the back, if you look at the end of Mincha, on a Mincha during the week, Yimechol, so after Kain Netzor, on the bottom, there's a couple of paragraphs of two different Yehi Ratzon or Ribono Olamims, where you say, I'm taking upon myself a fast day tomorrow. And if you want to take upon yourself a Tainus Yachid, it will only be effective if you make a Kabbalah. If one day you wake up and you're not hungry, and you say, you know, I'm going to just fast today. It's a very nice thing, a great way to maybe lose weight, but it's not going to be considered a Tainus, because a Tainus must be you took upon yourself a Kabbalah, and then you fasted the next day. Without the Kabbalah, it doesn't exist. So we spoke about Friday night, whether I make a Kabbalah b'machshav, is that going to be effective or not? But a Tainus Yachid requires a Kabbalah. A Tainus Tzibur does not require a Kabbalah. So what's this machlokas, whether or not it's a Tainus Tzibur or Tainus Yachid? What's the explanation? Is Tainus Esther a Tainus Tzibur, or is Tainus Esther a Tainus Yachid? What's the basis of such a machlokas? Any thoughts? So the more I think, the more you assume that Tainus Esther was like Rabbeinu Tam, that they fasted back then in the times of Esther, and that was a fast that existed from that point on. To me, it seems like a Tainus Tzibur. It was accepted globally by the entire Klal Yisrael in the times of Mordechai Esther, and they never stopped fasting on Yud Gimel Adar. But if you understand, like Rashi, that Yud Gimel Adar is really a Simcha day. It's a day of Simcha. Ikar Nes took place on Yud Gimel Adar. It was a happy day. And later on, for whatever reason, it evolved into being a fast day as well. So that can't be a Tainus Tzibur, because you can't make a Tainus Tzibur on top of a day that's already a Yom Simcha. So the only exception, the only possibility it could be is it's a Tainis Yachid. They fasted, and even though there is that contradiction, I don't have a good answer why you could have a Tainis Yachid on a day of a Simcha, but at least we could understand if you had to pick between either one, you'd more likely say it's a Tainis Yachid, according to Rashi, because Rashi, Be'ikr, it's really a Yom Simcha. So the fast day that takes place on Yud Gimel Adar must only be a lower level, it's only a Tainis Yachid. So that's why I think the Machlokas is whether it's a Tainis Tzibur, or whether it's a Tainis Yachid, depends on whether Yud Gimel Adar is a day of Simcha, or if it's a day of Tainis. That's going to dictate to us the nature of that Tainis.
So what would you think of the Tainis Yachid? You would accept it upon yourself?
For sure. For sure. If you paskin that way. We don't necessarily paskin, but if you do paskin that way, the Ritva says you require a Kabbalah. And I was once in YU, I was davening Mincha. The way it works, at least it used to work that way, after each shir, you daven Mincha in your shir. I don't know why I was in someone else's shir at the time for this. And I think it was the day before Tainis Esther. And the rabbi giving shir said, everyone should be Mekabel in Mincha time to tomorrow's a fast day. Never heard of this. I never heard it in general. I was young. I didn't even know such a thing existed in general, a Kabbalah for a Tainis. But certainly not in Tainis Tzibur, Tainis Esther. Never heard of that. He must have been makbid on the sheet of the Ritva that it's a Tainis Yachid. And you should make a Kabbalah, Mincha, beforehand to fulfill this sheet of the Ritva.
No, we don't,
not in general. I think what you're referring to is Behab. Oh, you do? Oh, so I'm not Sephardi, I don't know. But I know Behab in the yeshivas, after Pesach and Sukkot, there's something called Behab, the fast days. You do Monday, Thursdays, Mondays. So you need to make a Kabbalah. So that Kabbalah takes place, and they say Musaf, the Shabbos before Behab starts. So maybe in general, Sephardim have that in general. I don't know what their practices are. But that's a Kabbalah that they have in the yeshivas.
It does
reference that. Yeah. So, you should know, be careful when you go to daven yeshiva, if it's a Behab, after Sukkot might be a little bit longer davening than you're anticipating. So just be aware of that. But anyways, for it to be an effective Tainis, you have to have a Kabbalah. So that's that Kabbalah that's mentioned there in Musaf on Shabbos. Now the Rambam also says it. There's a very interesting way the Rambam formulates this. Look at the Rambam in number 15. Hilchos Tainios Perkei. It's clear from the Rambam, he writes, Halacha Dalet, Va'ar Bas Yimei Hatzomos Ha'elu, these four fast days, Hein Mefurashim B'Kabbalah. They're mentioned explicitly in Kabbalah, and he's referring to the four fast days. I like to ask my kids questions, just to keep the Shabbos Suda interesting, and questions from all over the Chumash and Halacha. So one of the questions I'd like to ask them, name the five Tanias, name the five of them. So there are four. The Rambam mentions only four of them, first, which is Tisha B'Av, Shavas B'Tamas, Tzom G'dalia, Sar B'Tevis. Those are the four. And then the fifth one is Tainis Esther. But the Rambam separates Tainis Esther in Halacha Hey. He says, V'nogu kol Yisrael bizmanim elu lisanos b'shlosha sar ba'adar zeichel Tainis shehisanu b'yimei haman. So he clearly separates Tainis Esther from the other four. He uses the Lashon V'nagu, they practiced such a fast day. Sounds like he's really diluting the concept of the Tainis Esther, making it to me to probably only be a Tainis Yachid, and probably only being a Rishus, as opposed to a Chova. And the Magen Mishnah picks up on this and says, it's a Taloy on a Minog. Some places had such a custom, others didn't. So we see that there is a big machlokas to the nature of Tainis Esther, whether that day is a happy day, whether that day is a serious day, whether it's a Tainis Tzibur, whether it's a Tainis Yachid, whether historically it was instituted from the time of Esther, or it came later on in history. And with this background, we can now understand where the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah is coming from. So number 17, and we're going to go through Nafkaminas after we go through this, Shulchan Aruch, we're going to read it one more time in number 17. He writes, Misanim b'yud gimel ba'adar. You fast on the 13th. He doesn't mention there's a rishus. There's a halacha, you fast on the 13th. Sounds like it's a chova. Comes the Ramah, Hagah, he writes, B'tainis ze'inu chova. But this tainis, Ramah, pulls back a little bit. It's not an obligation to fast. It's a rishus. L'chein yesh lahakil boleis tzarech. And therefore, there's room to be makil. So it comes out of this, the machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, whether Tainis Esther is a chova or rishus, hinges upon these machlokes we find in the Rishonim. Whether it's a Tainis Tzibur or Tainis Yachid, whether it's a day of Simcha or a day of Tainis, that's the basis for this machlokes.
Is it a rishus when it falls on the Gimel, or just the next?
Right.
The next sentence is when it comes out earlier.
So I think the my understanding of the way the Ramah is read is that in general, the tainus zeh, I think this is tainus, not, but he doesn't say tainus in this particular instance. This tainus in general is a rishus. I think, I hear you're reading it also, and there is room to read that. I didn't see anybody comment on that point. But to my understanding, the way the poskim discuss the halachas of Tainus Esther, they have built-in kulas in general. Even on a regular year, you could have a heter of not fasting on Tainus Esther. So that's the explanation of the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Is it a chova or is it a reshus? Depends on the whole sugya we just discussed. So there's a very interesting another discussion about what happens if Tainus Esther falls out on Shabbos like this year. So we know, of course, based on the calendar, tomorrow we're going to be fasting. It's pushed off till Thursday. As a side point, there are some Rishonim who hold that you should actually fast on Friday. We don't paskin this way. But it's brought down that Reb Chaim refused to get a Reb Chaim Mibrisk, Soloveitchik that is, he refused to get an Aliyah on a Tainus Esther that was Nidche, that the practice was on Thursday, to be Choshish for the Rishonim who thought that Tainus should really be on Friday. And the issue would be, if really should be on Friday, so then you can't get an Aliyah on Thursday. There's a Kriyas HaTorah, I guess, on Thursday either way. So now I'm trying to think, maybe what would the Bracha Lotala be? Now I'm trying to remember where I saw this from. But I guess maybe it would be a wrong Kriya.
Yeah.
I guess a wrong Kriya, but I'm wondering, if I guess that would be Ma'akev. So he refused to get an Aliyah on Tainus Esther that's pushed up to Thursday, because according to some Rishonim, you shouldn't be lading Tainus Esther, Tainus Tzibur rather, on Thursday, and it might be a Bracha Lotala, so you wouldn't get an Aliyah. There's a whole nother sugya, it's a whole nother sugya. If it falls on Shabbos, we do fast. There's only two fast days that if they do fall on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Yom Kippur, of course, and Tainus, and Sarbat Tevis. Now, Sarbat Tevis, in the way our calendar works out, never will fall out. But in theory, if it does fall out, according to many poskim, you would be able to fast on Shabbos. No. What? Oh, Erev Shabbos as well. Erev Shabbos, a few years ago we had that. I was in Eretz Yisrael that year. It was actually a funny Sarbat Tevis. It was snowing. It was a big blizzard a couple of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. My wife and I went on a nice vacation there. And we thought it would be nice. And it's not nice when it snows in Yerushalayim at all. We're stuck in the apartment.
With no heat, right?
Remember that story, exactly. So, but it was funny because they were lading Mincha time. It was Erev Shabbos and it was snowing outside. And they were lading Tainus Tzibur, the Haftorah. And instead of a Geshem Ve'Asheleg, right? And everyone started laughing. Because if we don't pay attention, we probably wouldn't have been laughing here. I mean, firstly, because we don't pay attention. Number two is it's normal to snow in that time of year. In Yerushalayim, it's not normal. So everyone was laughing when they started singing that or saying that. It does happen. It can't fall out on Friday when it comes to Asar B'Tevis. That Tainus Esther, we paskin it pushed off to Thursday. That's how we paskin. It's a Nidche. So why? So the Rush writes in number 18, this is the last page, the Rush writes, Masha Nogin, Masha Anu Makdimin rather, why do we make it come early? Tainus Esther, maybe we should push it off. Why do we have it come Liyom Chamishi? Heicha Shechal Purim Lios B'motzei Shabbos, when Purim falls out on Sunday like it does this year. So why do we make a Tainus Esther on Thursday and not on Erev Shabbos? V'lov Dinan L'Erev Shabbos, Nimsa B'tshuvas Agonim, V'fisha Ragilin B'tainus L'Haribos B'Slichos U'B'Tachanunim. Because they would normally say Slichos. V'lo Yitochen, it doesn't make sense, it's inappropriate. Lasos Kain B'Erev Shabbos, V'fisha Lo Yuchlu L'Tshoach L'Chavet Shabbos. To have a fast day on Erev Shabbos and to have an extra davening and Slichos and whatnot, that's going to take away from the preparations of Shabbos. That's why it was pushed off. But you see from the rush that it was a very serious day. It was a real tainus, a real full of slichos. Now, what the Chiddushe Ritva explains, a different reasoning, he says, and you'll see how he argues on the nature of tainus Esther. He says, Lefi she'ein lo ikur gamor. Firstly, there's no basis for tainus Esther like we've seen already. So, Nagu kishachal perm b'yachar b'Shabbos, lisanos b'yom chamishi shalafana. We read on Thursday, jumping down a line, V'les behunami mishum akdume pranuso lo makdimen. What's the Ritva referring to there? Anyone remember this Mishnah in Maseches Megillah? There's a concept. We say, what happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? Sunday. So why don't we make that Friday or Thursday? Why don't we make it earlier? So the concept is pranis makdimen, pranis lo makdimen. We don't make bad things come early. We don't want to bring the day of Tisha B'Av earlier. We push it off, so we push it off till Sunday. So here too as well, Tainus Esther should be pushed off until Sunday.
It's not a bad thing, right?
Exactly. So he says it's not a problem. Mishimakdumi Puranis Elo Makdimim. This is not a problem of that, because this is not a bad day. The Ritva, remember, the Ritva held that Tainis Esther is a Tainis Yachid or Tzibur, remember? Tainis Yachid he held. Which meant it's a low level Tainis, which sounds like he's most likely like holding like Rashi, that it's really a day of Simcha, it's a day of Iker Nes. And that's what the Shiltos writes explicitly. The Shiltos writes in number 20, the reason why we bring it earlier, because Mipnei Shunes. Fasting on Tainis Esther is a celebration of a Nes. And therefore we want to bring it earlier. We could celebrate it. We could fast on a day earlier on Thursday because it's really a day of Simcha. Very much against the Rush. The Rush was holding like Rabbeinu Tam. The Tainis Esther is a serious day of Tfilos and Tachanunim. And it's the only reason why I don't do it on a Friday is because it gets involved in Kavod Shabbos. And we push it earlier. But clearly for the Ritva and the Shiltos, it's a completely different perspective. It's a day of Simcha. It's a day of Nes. And therefore, there is no concern of the earlier, the better. And that's how they come out. So this Machlokas is Tainis Esther, a real Tainis Tzibur and a serious day, or is it a Tainis Yachid and a day of Simcha? And there are a number of Nafkaminas now. So let's go through some of the nafkaminas. It's very halachah maisa for tomorrow morning. Are you allowed to brush your teeth tomorrow morning? Now this is a question in general. Could you wash out your mouth? Could you use scope? So in general, we try to be very makbid when it comes to Yom Kippur. That's certainly true. There should be no water in the mouth. There might be some kulas for scope, but really, really we try, encourage not to use anything in the mouth on Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, we have the same level of chumras as well as Yom Kippur. One shouldn't wash out their mouth. Now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from other poskim that's possible that one should be machmir for Shivas Bar Tammuz and for Asar Bar Teves and the other fast days. And a person shouldn't wash the mouth out, a person shouldn't take a bath and shouldn't do laundry on all those days as well on the regular Tainis Tzibur. Tisha B'Av, certainly you can't do those. There's an Isser Rechitza, there's an Isser to wash clothing, but even the other fast days, a person should be machmir as well. Remember in camp, we knew the halacha, you can't take a shower on Tisha B'Av, but it was very hot out in Shavas Bar Tammuz, so we would just go and like stand in the shower all day long in our bathing suits and just like cool off because it was so hot. That's what we did. But with the poskim right, a person really shouldn't take a bath or shower on Shavas Bar Tammuz or any of the other fast days. So what about Tainis Tzibur? Well, we have the same chumras on Tainis Tzibur that a person shouldn't bathe, a person shouldn't do laundry, shouldn't wash out his mouth. So this Sefer, Shalmei Todah, a very nice Sefer, I had bought many years ago, he's medayik from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah only gives examples of Shivas Bar Tammuz or Asar Bar Teves, but he makes no mention of Tainis Esther, and he explains that since Tainis Esther is not based on Avelis, the other four fast days, Tisha B'Av, Shivas Bar Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, Asar Bar Teves, are all based on Avelis, about the destruction of the base of Migdash in different stages along the way, those are based on Avelis. So not bathing is about Avelis, not washing clothing is about Avelis. So Tainis Esther has nothing to do with Avelis. And therefore he thinks that there is room to permit one to wash clothing and to take a bath and even get a haircut, because there is no inyan of Avelis. And he quotes from Rav Nissen Karelitz here that he said the same thing, that when it comes to Tainis Esther, you can take a shower. There is no Isser at all to take a shower. You could wash clothing and you could even get a haircut if you wanted on Tainis Esther. He says the same thing with regards to washing out your mouth. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a Tainis Tzibur, a person should not wash out his mouth. But a Tainis Yachid, a person is allowed to wash out his mouth and spit it out. You could put water in your mouth, you could put scope in your mouth, you could spit it out for a Tainis Yachid. So what about Tainis Esther? So it depends on the nature of Tainis Esther, whether it's a Tainis Tzibur or whether it's a Tainis Yachid. And he's medayik here that even if Tainis Esther is a Tainis Tzibur, it still has built-in kulas than a regular Tainis Tzibur because it's not based on Avelis. And this Sefer thinks that one can be makil in washing their mouth out and brushing their teeth on Tainis Esther. What about a halacha? Let's say a person forgot to fast. The guy wakes up one day and forgets it's Shivas Bar Tammuz. So what's the halacha? He has to make it up. He has to do tashlumim and pick another fast day. Or let's say a person who had a heter not to fast. The person was sick. A woman was pregnant. So the halacha is that ideally they should really make up the fast a different day. And you could even wait to the winter months where the day is very short, where it ends at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. So let's say a guy forgot and started eating on Tainis Esther. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you eat after whatever time the fast starts. So at 6 o'clock you eat. So do you have to make up that fast day? And he suggests here as well that perhaps you don't have to make up the Tainis Esther because it's a day that's really predicated on Simcha and Zeichel Anes. And we like to fast but it's only a tainis yachid, and even if it's a tainis tzibur, there's still built-in kulas, and he doesn't think you have to fast.
In note 17, the Ramah says you do have to
pay. In note 17,
look at the Ramah 17.
Which one is this? Adam 17. Oh, I see where you are. I got you. Okay. He says, "Lo yisanu v'ifru." He says, "You don't have to make it up. You don't have to." Right? Yeah. You don't have to make it up. So I'm not sure why he doesn't quote this. This seems pretty explicit. I'm not sure why he didn't bring this as a raya, but clearly we see as part of the kulas that if you miss it, you don't have to make it up. Now, but this case is different. That's when a person was sick. Let's say a person forgot. He shachach. He woke up. He forgot it was Tainus Esther. So maybe there's room to think the guy was he wasn't ones. He was shogig. Maybe he should be responsible for making it up. And that's where he's suggesting that maybe you wouldn't have to make up a Tainus. Another discussion. Let's say it's a bris. Anyway, it's a bris this morning. Shlomo has a bris this morning. But let's say there's a bris tomorrow morning. What?
The notes didn't mention the last few words of the remark. As the remark says, "V'mchal purim b'yom rishon shemsam yochem rishon shalufanu v'chal bo bris mila mutalechal ala mila ulamacha b'yom hashishi yisanu v'chal."
Right. So that's if it's a nidcha, then you're allowed to eat at a bris. But let's say it's a regular year. There's a regular tainus, and a person's making a bris. So the halacha is that the day of a bris is a yontif for that. The bala bris and the sandik and the mol. So is he allowed to eat? Does he have to fast on that day or not? So the discussion here that the Mishnah Brura writes that he only has to fast until Mincha time. But after Mincha, he's allowed to break the fast. And according to other poskim, the Shari Tshuva says he's allowed to eat the entire day. He doesn't have to fast at all. So what's the machlokas, whether you have to fast till Mincha or you don't have to fast at all? Just for Tainus Esther. In general, a Baal Bris is supposed to fast. That's why in Tisha B'Av we make it towards the end of the day, right before Mincha. It has to be Bayom, the Mila. You can't do it at nighttime. But you also you're supposed to have a Suda. So they make it right before Mincha, and then the Suda is afterwards at nighttime. That's, you can't fast on Tisha B'Av. But in a Tainus Esther, there's a debate whether he's allowed to, whether he has to fast or not. So part of this could be about how to understand the nature of the day of a bris milah. It's a yantif. It's a regel for him, the Gemara says. He wears yantif clothing, Shabbos clothing. But also part of it is the nature of Tainus Esther. And according to Shai Tshuva, the Tainus Esther is a very weak Tainus. And having a bris on that day, Doche pushes off the need to fast. And according to Mishnah Brura, it limits the time. He only has to fast until Mincha. But after that point, he's allowed to break the fast. So this also indicates there's some level of a weakness to a Tainus Esther. Now, what about a chasen and kala during the Sheva Brachos, during that week? So let's say it falls out, there's a fast day that falls out during their week. So do they have to fast or not? So normally the halacha is they have to fast. They have to fast. It isn't just because, what's the havamina that they shouldn't fast? Because the Gemara, the Mishnah, I think Mishnah Nagam says that it's a regular for them. That's why the Mishnah says that let's say a chasen or kala sees a negat saras on their body. So they don't have to, they're not supposed to show it to a Kohen. Even though a person might have Taras, it's not called Taras until a Kohen declares it Taras. So he could intentionally avoid seeing a Kohen, and the Mishnah gives him a heter during his week of Sheva Brachos. It's like a regel, the Mishnah says. It's mamish like a yantif. We don't want to take away that yantif from. So since it's a level of yantif, you would think maybe the chasen kala shouldn't have to fast if it's a tainus tzibur, if they got married the week before Shavas or Tammuz. Maybe they shouldn't have to fast. So the halacha is they have to fast. But what if they get married, mamish, tonight? They get married tonight. Tonight, I will do another daf kumin in a second. Let's say they got married last night. So now the Tainus Esther is during the Sheva Brachos. So he brings poskim, let's say they don't have to fast on Tainus Esther. There's a heter for them. So that's this all depends on that whole discussion. Fine. So there's one last nafkamina, I guess, whether this day of Tainus Esther is a day of Simcha or if it's a day of Avelis. I didn't see this anywhere, but because of Maisa Shehaya, to me, so this came about as a nafkamina. So a number of years ago, this goes back, I wish I remembered all my kids' ages. That must have been 9 years ago, I guess. 9 years ago, okay. 9 years ago, when my son Yeshaya was born, so I was learning in YU at the time, and I got a phone call from my wife. It was a Thursday, And then I left YU and I drove back and I went through Queens. And those who are familiar, I got off the exit on Jewel Avenue and I made a right on that service road. I forget the names near that little basketball court on the park there on the side right next to the Van Wyck. Those who are familiar know what I'm talking about. And the end of the block, there's a stop sign and you make a left. So, you know, I was somewhat of a rush. So I did one of those, like, slow downs through the stop line, glide through, make a left, and there was an officer waiting on the side, pulling me over along with the other 15 people lined up. So he was he must have been a professional at this, so before I had even a chance to explain what I was doing there, so he wrote up a ticket in a matter of seconds, and then I was off on my way, and I couldn't explain why I was leaving. So either way, later that day, my wife didn't give birth, but it was the next morning, it was Friday morning, Erev Shabbos, she had given birth to my son Yeshaya. And so I had this ticket I had to deal with, so I appealed it, and I wanted to go take this one to court. So I got the court date, and it said the court date was on Yud Gimel. It didn't say this, but the English calendar turns out it was Yud Gimel Ad, there was Tainus Esther. So I wasn't sure if I should be excited or not, because on one hand, the Gemara says if you have a Bez Din, if you didn't Torah with a non-Jew, you should have during Adar. This is a tremendous mazel to have during Adar. But if it's a Tainus Esther, I wasn't sure how to view Tainus Esther, whether that's Bichlal that mazel or not. So now, if it depends on this machlokas here, if it's a day of simcha, it's really a nace, like Rashi understands, so seemingly the mazel would extend itself to Tainus Esther as well. But if it's more of a serious day, Tainus Tzibur, like Rabbeinu Tam understands it, then maybe the mazel wouldn't extend itself. So what happened? So I show up to the DMV, it's right down here, Rockaway Turnpike, I had the papers just showing my wife had given birth the next day, though, hoping that would be enough evidence, even though it wasn't that day, wasn't as urgent, but you never know. So I show up with my folder, suit, just like a lawyer, I guess, and a little briefcase, sitting in the room. And though I haven't been to many of these, and maybe you guys know more than I do. But the way it works, at least there, they call you up, and if you get called up and your officer is not there, then you're off. The ticket's ripped up. So there's one officer that was there, and there was 50 of us sitting there. I wasn't sure if this was the officer pulled me over or not. So they call four or five people up, and then the officer wasn't there, and they all went on their way. Then they called up my name, and then they called up the officer. So it was, the one officer was there, it happened to be my guy. So I'm standing up there, I get my briefcase all ready, and the officer comes up standing next to me, we're up in front of the judge, and I don't remember the terminology, but the judge said something along the way, I don't know, do you swear, whatever they're supposed to say up there, and then are you ready to prosecute? What?
Affirm.
Affirm, whatever the terminology is, and he said something along the lines, are you ready to, I don't know, go ahead with this court case, with this case here? And the officer said no. And then the judge looks up at him and says, that's awfully nice of you. All right, next. And I said to the clerk, what just happened? He says, nothing, you're done, just leave. And I didn't have to discuss anything, and the mazel of Adar worked, and I was Baruch Hashem, I got out of that ticket. Now, probably what really happened was, he probably wasn't used to seeing a Jew come all prepared there. He probably didn't want to duke it out with me, because I had a briefcase, I had evidence, and probably smarter than the other guys who were pretty sitting in that in the room with me. So he probably better off not wasting any of his time. I got off the hook. Either way, I had the mazel of Adar, even though it was Yud Gimel Adar, was a tiny Esther. All right, Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochet to the time where all fast days are done with, and we have only days of Simcha and Yom Tov.